As you came in this morning, you were given a what we call our Connect card. If you'll turn that over and look on the back of it, you'll see a place that you can take notes during the message. Also, if you have prayer requests, in that blue box on the back side, you can let us know what that is, put your name on there, and take it to the Welcome Center after the service, and we will pray for those prayer requests this week. We're going to begin a new series today, and I like starting new series, and I'm excited about this one. This is kind of a message that I've preached a long time. You know, when you preach 30-something years, you feel like you've just preached the whole Bible over and over and over and over again. So, I don't have any new revelation. That's weird when people say they have a new revelation. There's only one revelation, and that's the Word of God. The Bible is a great book. It's full of life. It's just chock full of things that will transform you. That's what we're going to talk today about, is words. And we've entitled this, Words, Life or Death. Words, Life or Death. So Eric did a good job of doing the graphics for us today. So we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 18. And as we're doing that, I want to read to you something that I've always loved this saying, because it's so true. It says, watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. So everything starts with two things, thoughts and words. Thoughts and words. That's where it all begins. Where does change begin? It begins with thoughts and words. Thoughts and words. Now, this is not a secular message. I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking about using words like you do abracadabra and things just change. But we're talking about a spiritual principle. And really it goes back to, as most things do, is to seed time and harvest. You have to plant the right kind of seeds to have the right kind of thoughts. When you have the right kind of thoughts, you're gonna speak the right kind of words. And the way to change your destiny is to change the way that you think and to change the way that you speak. Because it does affect you. It will affect the way that you act. It'll get into your character, and then it'll get into your destiny. So destiny change begins with thought change. And the best way to get the right thoughts is the Bible. We're always back to the Bible. We are a church of the Bible. We believe in the Bible. I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I don't believe it contains the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. And it is truth. And I know that if I will think what God thinks, it will change me. If I just want to come up with my own stuff, it won't. And so this is not mind over matter. This is a spiritual life force called the power of the Word of God. See, Hebrews says that the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It goes right down to the very core of our being. It's powerful and it's life changing. So Proverbs 18, this is one of my favorite verses. I've got lots of favorite verses. The more I read the Bible, the more favorite verses I get. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. For the produce of his lip, by the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Words affect the natural realm. It really does. We're going to explore that and think about that a little. But your words will even affect your natural realm. Have you ever been around negative people? Anybody? Don't think about somebody sitting next to you. But, I have some negative friends and some people that I know that are negative. And, you know, one in particular I think about, and I have to be careful because I'm not talking about any of you. But He's a big sports guy, and he's always negative. And we come in and talk to all them Razorbacks. They won't win a game this year. I want to slap him. All right, and he's a big LSU guy. That shows you how deranged he is, you know. So, but anyway, he's always negative. Pioneers are not going to win. Southside's not going to win. Cape City's not going to win. Nobody's going to win. Everybody's going to lose. I mean, he's just negative, 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 negative. His whole, and you know what? His whole outlook on life is negative. When you hear something about a political candidate, oh, he's a crook. He's a crook. You hear about an incident, oh, yeah, he's just trying to do this. I mean, he's like, ow, ow, ow. And it's negative. It's negative. Negative is not good, okay? And you know, it will set the tone of your life. I know people that are so negative that they will sabotage their own success. They'll have an opportunity to come to them where they could prosper, maybe a job or something, and they will negative themselves out of it. They'll talk themselves out of it. And it's so sad to see that, because really I believe God has a design for our life, and God don't make failures. I believe he wants us to be successful in the things that he's called us to do. Now, I know there's some people think that, you know, God made some people to be failures. I don't believe that. I believe that he wants us to be successful. I believe as a parent, he wants you to be successful. I believe as a believer, he wants you to be successful. Even in the areas that you work, I believe that he wants you to be successful. He didn't make us lazy and all of those kind of things. He wants us to do well. Why? Because everything that we do in life reflects him. And even when we go, and you'll go through some hard times, when you go through hard times, he still wants us to speak life, to speak words of life. Why? Because it brings glory to him. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, if we will fall in love with God's word, if we'll just absolutely fall in love with God's word, we'll eat the fruit of that. You know why? Because when you put the word of God on the inside of you, and this is why we have you reading your Bibles, oh faithful ones to read your Bibles. Because when you get the word of God on the inside of you, it changes the way that you think about things. All of us have been taught things that are not right. Every one of us. Every one of us have believed things that are not right. I don't care what church you go to. You have learned some things that are probably not right. But if we'll go back to the Bible and let the Bible speak to our hearts, and it will change the way that you think about some things. And guess what? When it changes the way that you think, you'll speak differently. You'll act differently. Your character will become different, and thus your destiny will become different. And that's how we succeed, is we succeed through the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons that God gave it to us. That's what renewing of the mind is all about. So I want to talk about two things. We're going to talk about two different things. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is, what does the Word of God connect us to? Number one, it connects us to God. It connects us to God. It says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you see what that says? That the Word was with God. Remember how God created the earth? He didn't use his hands. He used his words. God said, let there be light. There was light. And God said, and I think it 16 or 17 times in Scripture, it says, and God said. And then God looked at it and said, it's good. And then when he got finished, he says, it's very good. So God created with the words of his mouth. It's something that he saw in his heart. He conceived it in his heart. But when it came time to create it, he created it with the words of his mouth. And that's why he told us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, you can't create anything, okay? I know people think that, you know, we're made in God's image. He created with words and we can create with words. Well, we can affect things in the world that we live with in by the words of our mouth. First of all, you will affect your own attitude. And that's important. See, your attitude determines your altitude. You know, if you have low self-esteem, you're going to have low output. If you don't think much of yourself, you're not going to speak very highly. And thus, you're going to perform to the level of your expectation. So what we need to do is we need to find out what God says about us. That's what we need to say about us. And then we will raise the lid of our potential. A lot of times we keep the lid of our potential really low because we have such low self-esteem. Now, you know, the truth of the matter is that, and this sounds negative, but in ourselves, we're not that great. But when you come to Christ, you're no longer in yourself, you're in Him. And He says, He calls us the righteousness of God in Him. See, I know I deserve nothing. I don't merit anything. But because of Christ, He has given me the kingdom. He has given me an inheritance. He's given me part of His inheritance. He has called me His son. He has called me His heir. And so I need to line my heart up with that. I need to line my mouth up with what God said. Thank you, Father, today that I'm your child. You're my very own father, and I'm your very own child. Thank you today, Father, that you love me. Lord, you take control of my life today, and you guide me in the direction that you want me to be. I will succeed in the things that you've called me to do because it's your power at work in me. Or you can be all mealy mouth. Well, you know. And have you ever noticed when people are negative, they get all, well, I mean, all. When I hear that on the master, I'm thinking, I know I'm going to get a dump load of negativity, okay? Forgive me. But it's true. It's true. It's true. But see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the Word. He is the Word. He is the Word made flesh. He demonstrated in His flesh the Word of God. He showed us a way that we're supposed to live as believers. He modeled it for us. And that's why it's so important that we read the words of Jesus. You know, you need to spend time in the New Testament. You got four shots at it: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And hear what Jesus says. And in your mind, see Him. See Him at action. And let that stain your heart. Let that get into your thought life. And you know what? You begin to emulate that. You begin to speak like He speaks. It's going to change some things in your life. How many of you know we need to be changed? That's something that the only people I know that like change is babies. The rest of us really don't like change that much. It's because sometimes it's a little difficult. But we need change. I need change. I need to be transformed by the Word of God. And that's the only way that I'm ever going to bring glory to Him. So words connect us to God. I love Psalms 107:20. It says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. See, the Word of God is designed to work for you, in you. It will make you the better you. It won't make you like me. Aren't you glad? But that word will make me a better me. I was made by God. Did you know that? I'm not an alien. I was made by God. Before the foundations of the world, He designed me. He decided what kind of personality I was going to have, what my spiritual gifts were going to be, if I was going to be called to ministry or not. He designed me and gave me a propensity for certain things. Now it's up to me to choose that for my life. If I will choose His way for my life, I can succeed in the things that He has designed me to do. See, you're partners with God. The design, the good design, is there for you. I know we messed it up when we sinned. Adam messed it up when we sinned, but Jesus, oh listen, Jesus healed that when He rose from the dead and paid the price for our sins. And listen, we can overcome through Him. But we're partners. He doesn't make that happen. We have to participate with Him through the Word. The Word is alive. It's transforming. And when we embrace that Word into our thought life, we embrace that Word into the words that we choose, it will begin to change our destinies. He sent His Word and healed them. And that's not only physical, that's spiritual, mental, and emotional also. And delivered them from their destructions. Here's the big connecting scripture, Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The Word is near you, and in your mouth and in your heart. See, remember we talked about it starts on the inside, it comes to the outside. In fact, it's a whole cycle. You know, it's the whole cycle of, you know, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. It's that whole cycle. And if you want to change, if there's something that needs to be changed in your life, the Holy Spirit will show that to you. And you can start doing that by replacing the bad thoughts with God's thoughts. And then you'll learn to say what God said. And then you'll learn to do it. Then that's what you'll become. It's a process. It is not magic. There's not a magic moment. It's a lifestyle. And it must become a lifestyle with us speaking God's Word. Okay. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now here's how it works. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Heart, mouth. Heart, mouth. Heart, mouth. It's got to be in the heart. It's got to be in the mouth. It's got to be in the heart. It's got to be in the mouth. Never will forget, 1971, month of July, standing across the street from Asbury United Methodist Church. At a funeral, I cried out to God from my heart. I'd heard the gospel. I knew the gospel. I knew what to do, but I cried from my heart. And I said, Jesus, I want You to be my Lord. I confess You as Lord. Take my life. Use me. I'll do whatever You want me to do. And you know what? He did. From that moment, my life was transformed. It's the same principle in any of our connection with God. We connect with God through His Word. Through words. Words connect us to God. The second thing. Well, let me read another scripture. No. Second thing. Words connect us to each other. Words connect us to each other. Have you ever been hurt by words? Have you ever had people that have separated you from them because of their words? Have you ever had people have drawn you closer to them because of their words? See, words connect us to each other. Now, the greatest example of that is marriage. Marriage. 1974, I stood at Asbury United Methodist Church, looked a little redheaded woman in the eye, and we exchanged words of covenant. And guess what? Something miraculous happened. Two people became one flesh. And that's a miracle of God. We were connected by what? Words. Does God recognize those words? You bet He does. You bet He does. And He figures that those words are meant till death us do part. We were connected by words. But that's the beginning of it. See? But think about family life now. See, you can be stronger in family by words, or you can destroy a family through words. How many of you know marriages can be destroyed by words? Isn't that true? I mean, you know, if you tell your wife, "You're just fat. You're going to die, sucker." That's not life. That's death. That may be quick death. "Honey, how does this dress make me?" "Oh, wonderful, wonderful." No, no. See, but we can take words. See, we can speak words of hate. We can speak words of negativity to our spouse, and we can absolutely destroy the relationship that we have with our spouse. You know, you can do the same thing with your children. You can do the same thing with your children. You can be critical of your children. You can look at your son or your daughter and say, "You know what? You're never going to amount to anything. You're just like your daddy." What are you doing? Is that life or death? See, this is practical stuff. See, I'm not talking about pie in the sky stuff. I'm talking about practical stuff. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You can make it work for you, or it'll work against you. Our natural inclination is for it to work against us, because that seems to be our natural inclination, to be negative, to be fleshly. And when you get in the flesh, when you get in anger, when you get in discontentment, when you know your emotions are up and down, many times you say things that you wished you hadn't said. But you said them, and they're out there. But you know what? You can bring healing the same way. I was raised in a good home. Many of you were raised in good homes. Some of you were raised in broken homes. And I know children that when they get 17, 18 years of age, they leave home and they don't want to go back. I'm not talking about moving back. They don't even want to have anything to do with their parents. Why? Because they took words and they drove wedges between them. Now, let me just say something, because somebody here needs to hear this. Maybe you were raised in one of those kind of homes. Maybe there's wedges between you and your loved ones. You can change that by your words. Somebody needs to break the cycle somewhere. Just because you come from a dysfunctional home does not mean that your home has to be dysfunctional. You can change it. I have a quiet little mama. She turned 85 years old Thursday. Just as spry as not quite like a spring chicken, maybe a fall chicken. But, she's pretty spry for 85. My mama is not outgoing or outspoken. But one thing that we knew, that we were loved. One thing that we knew, that we were special. You know what she did? She always spoke special. I mean, lifted us up, encouraged us. And she always made, and I say this all the time because I'm hoping it'll get through to some people. She made family time special. Birthdays were special. Christmas, Thanksgiving, special. Everybody still loves to go to Nanny's house on Thanksgiving. And we're talking about four generations, like to go to Nanny's house. Why? Because it's still special. It's still special. She made it that way. See, she spoke life. She lived life. She with her words and with her actions, she brought life into our family. You can do that with yours. I don't care what your background was like. You can change it. You can do that with yours. You have to choose it. But first of all, you have to be transformed by the Word of God. Amen. So what do words do? What do they connect us to? Number one, they connect us to God. That's got to be first. Number two, they connect us to other people. Now, I want to read, I want to give you three things that the truth about words. Number one, words cost. Words cost. In fact, King David prayed a prayer in Psalms 141:3. He says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." How many of you ever opened your mouth and inserted your foot? The rest of you are telling one. We've all done that. I've done it from the pulpit. I've said things that, "Oh, dear God, I just hurt somebody." You know, you're going to choose to be a fork, a knife, or a spoon. Learn to be a spoon. You know what a spoon does? A spoon lifts up. What does a knife do? It cuts. What does a fork do? It stabs. So your tongue is either a fork, a knife, or a spoon. Learn to be a spoon. Encourage. Lift people up. You know what you'll do when you lift people up? You'll draw people to you. When you cut and stab, you're going to push people away from you. See, words hurt. And David said, "Oh God, set a guard on my mouth." And we could say it this way: Holy Spirit, help me with this, because I don't want to use my words to offend. I don't want to use my words to hurt. I want to use my words to heal, because Lord, your words are healing words. So words cost. They hurt. That's the second one. Words hurt. Proverbs 26:18 says, "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was just joking.'" Did you know you can hurt people by just joking? You can hurt people and not mean to. It's easy to hurt people with words. And you know what? We've all done it. And that's why we need the guard over our mouth. That's why we need to invite the Holy Spirit to be the buffer where that's concerned, that will bring conviction to our lives so that we can not do that. Ephesians 5:3-4 says, "But fornication and all cleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks." The Bible says a whole lot about the words that we choose to speak. Now, if you're out there in the world, in the workplace, in casual settings, you're going to hear coarse words. You're going to hear cutting speech. You're going to hear gossip and slander. But listen, you need to make it a priority that you're not going to participate in that kind of stuff. That you're not going to become a fork or a knife, but you're going to be a spoon. The Bible says that we will give an account for every idle word that proceeds out of our mouths. Words are important. Words are life or death. Let our words be life. Okay, here's the last thought. Here's the last thought. Finally, here's the last thought. Gracious. I do this every Sunday, don't I? I flick my thing too far. Words last. Words are eternal. Listen to this. This is so cool. 2 Timothy 1:3-5. Paul talking about Timothy. "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded also in you." Now, get the context here, what he's talking about. He says, listen, This started with your grandmother. That faith was passed to your mother. And now that faith is passed to you. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, grandmother taught mother. Mother taught. See, we can pass words of life from generation to generation to generation to generation. That's the way that it's designed to be. That's how the blessing is passed from generation to generation, by instilling faith in our children and our children's children. Now, you can instill unforgiveness, bitterness. You can instill so many negative things. They'll pass from generation to generation to generation. Maybe you were raised in something like that. Listen, you can be the agent of change that turns that around and ensures that the next generations has words of life and not words of death. We need people of life. We need life, and life more abundantly. I want to pray, but I want to ask the question. What's the Holy Spirit say to you today? I believe that the Holy Spirit talks to us during a message. I believe that my prayer always is that He talks to all of you. Because every one of us have need. I need to hear from the Holy Spirit today. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to me through my own voice, because He says something that I didn't intend to say that I needed to hear. And I'm thinking, oh no. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What area of your life did He put His finger on that you need to make an adjustment in? Are you negative? Are you filled with resentment? That's death. Are your words negative? Are they positive? Is your tongue the tongue of life or the tongue of death? You're going to eat the fruit of either. And maybe there's just one area of your life that you need to make an adjustment in today. You can do that as we pray here today. It starts by repentance. Let me say that again. It starts by repentance. And then you get into the Word and you find out what God says about that. And then you begin to meditate on that. And then you begin to talk about that. It takes time to make change. You didn't become the way you are overnight. You're not going to be transformed overnight. It's a process. Some things have to be undone in order for the Holy Spirit to do what He needs to do. He can do that. It doesn't take as much time to undo it as it did to mess it up. That's the supernatural part of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Words of life. Words of life, not death. Lord God, You've spoken to people today, and right now they're communicating with You about these areas of their life that needs to be changed. Father, speak loudly, speak boldly, and Lord, as they open their hearts to surrender to You in that area, work supernaturally. Speak Your Word to them. May it jump out of the page as they read Your Word. Thank You today, Father, for hearing us. And thank You for the miraculous work that You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet.